This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Well, I think also that's the problem with UFOs. You see a UFO and you scramble to find your iPhone or your Samsung and you try to capture a picture, but the circumstances aren't always good to get a decent snapshot.
Right.
And by the
exactly.
time you focus on the creature, it might be gone. By the time you focus on the UFO, it's just a light in the sky. It's nothing that you could really categorize as anything else.
Right. No, the optics and the lenses aren't really of the kind of quality that you need to be able to focus on something. You know, you got to be able to zoom effectively. Cell phones really are not that good for capturing photographic evidence of events, I think 90% of the time. There's, you know, the perfect conditions do exist. Occasionally you'll see fairly decent cell phone photographs of aerial objects, mostly. Is it a shadow? Is it a tree stump? Or, you know, very rarely do people like photograph the exact same thing when the creature's gone. They don't have the knowledge to show the difference with the creature there and then stay in the same place. And when it's gone, take another picture and show that the scene is not that way all the time. In other words, supply context. Which is something that I constantly am trying to get people to do. It's like, you know, don't just take one picture or two pictures of what it is that you think is weird. Take pictures afterwards. You know, really show how that there's one condition here in these shots, and then this is how the scene is normally in these shots. Supplying context is really important. That's why a light in the sky doesn't mean anything unless you have something in the foreground to have to supply context. You have to take a picture, you know, after the fact so that people know what the scene looks like without the anomaly in it. And that's why photographs of a light in the sky don't mean anything unless you have something in the foreground. It's pretty simple, but people just aren't educated enough. The average person doesn't know how to properly document an anomalous event and supply context.
Well, the other thing is that your smartphone is really best equipped for a casual snapshot. It's not something or something you prepare for. I mean, you see them doing TV commercials with an iPhone, but they spend time testing and retesting. For a commercial, they carefully set up the shot. They may run a number of test shots before they find what they want. They even use them for movies, but once again, they've got to do a lot of preparation. They're going to have retakes. They're going to have that sort of thing. It's not just going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event, even if it seems that way in the picture. But capturing something unexpected is going to throw anyone off, even a professional photographer.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. Now, concerning these skeletons, I get that question probably more than anything else concerning, well, Bigfoot, why don't we see this? Why don't we see that? And the answer I always say is I was a Boy Scout for quite a long time. And for between the time I was 6 until the time I was 12, for a solid 6 years, I was out in the woods, deep woods, for pretty much every other weekend, the entire weekend. And in that time, I only ever found 2 deer skeletons. Now, I live in Ohio. I see deer everywhere. I mean, I can, any given time at any night, I can look out my window and I'll probably see a deer. There's deer everywhere. But I only ever found 2 deer skeletons because even though it does take several days for decomposition of just the skin and the muscles, it really is, when you're out in the woods and something drops dead, there are other factors besides just the decomposition. You have the scavengers, and they will grab bones for the marrow. And then depending on the soil or the rainfall, the bones will degrade faster. The bones will scatter incredibly quickly because animals will grab them. The wind will knock them over. Something comes by and moves them. The ground shifts or whatever if it was on a hill. So there are a lot of factors that move bones, and even animals that are everywhere all the time, you rarely see their skeleton. Sometimes you'll see a complete corpse if the animal had just died, but that's almost as rare as the bones themselves, except for animals that get eaten, like squirrels or whatever. I've seen several squirrels that have been torn apart by coyotes, but even then it's not as common. So if you're talking about an animal that there's probably only maybe in the entire continent 2,500, because that's the best estimate that I've ever seen, that when you're concerning yourself with an animal that it is that rare, then you might never find bones. It's not impossible. And then if you're talking an intelligent humanoid primate that, looking at our own past and then other hominids in the past, at the stage that, from what we can safely assume from extended encounters from Albert Ostman, who was abducted by the creatures or whatnot, these animals, if they exist, might actually have burial rituals as well, which would make the bodies even harder to find.
You know what I tell people when they ask me that, or when they point that out? I say, when was the last time you saw a picture of a skeleton of a bear, or a mountain lion, or a wolverine?
Exactly.
They're extremely rare. I mean, these animals are much more numerous, I would think, than a Bigfoot population, and yet you rarely see, if ever, the skeleton of a top level, top shelf predator. They're just not out there. So it makes sense that we don't have Bigfoot. And if they, like you say, if they are intelligent, then there may be some sort of rudimentary burials or hiding the remains of animals. Elephants, for instance, don't die in place very often. They tend to go off to areas, elephant graveyard type areas, for instance. When we come back, though, I do have some other questions. We got to take a break here. We're going to go ahead and keep fielding you some questions. So I'm going to hand it over to Gene so he can talk about the Paracast Plus and a couple of other things that we need to pass along to our listeners.
The Paracast Plus, by the way, is the best way to support this show. We provide something special, extra. After the Paracast, the podcast that is a little bit of everything. Stream of consciousness, color commentary, after the show talk, before the show talk, special guests interviews. For example, one week we had Nick Pope on, and we remember him, of course, working with the Ministry of Defense in the UK, and I had a conversation with him on conspiracy theories, where he takes kind of a more conventional point of view, where what we might regard as a conspiracy, he regards as settled, if you get the point. Exclusive for subscribers of the Paracast Plus. We also give away free books, ebooks, and print books. If you want to learn more, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We also offer cheap rates starting at $1.49 a week. That's about the same price as a small coffee from the Circle K, about half what you pay for Starbucks, I think. I've lost track. I don't really buy from Starbucks anymore, so I have no idea what they charge. That might be like a third of what Starbucks charges to get Paracast Plus. It's cheap. Colin Schneider is the Crypto Kid. Chris O'Brien and Gene Steinberg are holding forth here. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris, we've really had some smart questions here from our audience at forum.theparacast.com of Colin Schneider. Any more that you could dredge up?
Yeah, we do have a bunch. Again, this one is from Eric the Red, and he's one of our listeners from Minnesota, and he's wondering, Colin, if you've had, have you had conversations with people who have claimed to see Bigfoot themselves? And if so, could you describe some of the details of these encounters?
Yes. Well, one of my one of my family's close friends, he's a hunter, a very avid hunter. He goes out pretty much every weekend hunting various things. And he described to me, about a year ago when he found out that I was interested in this stuff, he goes, when I told him, just off top of my head, because he asked what we did the weekend before when we were at a crypto conference, and he goes, okay, come here. I'm going to tell you something I've never told anyone, even my wife. And he proceeded to tell me, and I've gotten permission from him to give out a story, just not his name. He proceeded to tell me about a morning, he thinks it was in 2010, in the fall, where he was sitting in a ditch in a ghillie suit. It was 5-ish in the morning. The sun was barely coming up. It was gray. That's how he described the look of everything. He said that he was sitting in the alcove in the ground in his ghillie suit, and he heard this crashing come from a bunch of thistles, a whole bunch of thistle bushes. That's what I was trying to say.
That is a tongue twister of a name. I have to talk to the person who named those bushes.
And he said that he heard this loud, terrible, crashing, cracking sound, and he turned to look. It was far enough away that he didn't really get to see it good, and the conditions weren't very, very sustainable for a good look. But he said that it was taller than he is. He's about 6 foot, so he thinks it was closer to 7, maybe 7.5 feet tall. And he said that it was dark, it was humanoid, and he said that it was stomping as it walked. That's how he described just this very, very, like, exaggerated stomp of a walk. He said that its arms were swinging along. He was kind of astonished, because at first he thought it was another hunter, and this was his property. He owned the property specifically for hunting. It was several acres in the area, and he said that the place it came from was essentially just this flooded part of the property that was basically nothing but swamp-type land and thistle bushes. So he said even him knowing the ground would have had an incredibly hard time walking through it. And he said it was walking like it was nothing but a walk to work on the sidewalk. And he wanted to shout out, "Hey, you," because he thought, he thought it originally was another hunter on his property, but he didn't, because right around the time he was about to, he said that it turned, looked right at him, and he claimed that he was 100% positive that it saw him, although he was in his ghillie suit, camouflaged, and it was still dark enough that he would have been well hidden from a person at the time. And he said that it sidestepped behind a tree, and for about 30 seconds, every couple seconds, it would look out of the tree, just kind of like you see in the movies, if like the Scooby-Doo gang is looking out over a corner and you just see all their heads. That's what he said it was doing. It was leaning over from behind the tree, looking at him, and then putting its head back behind the tree. And he said that it did that for close to 30 seconds. And then it just turned around and walked back into the thistles.
Wow. So where exactly did this take place? I didn't catch the details of the location.
It was a property he owned. He doesn't own it anymore, unfortunately. He sold it off. But it's in Ashland, Ohio, which on the map is northeastern Ohio-ish area.
Uh-huh.
So it was the property he owned. It didn't have any buildings. He owned it specifically for hunting. It was basically just a big forest with like a weird swampy area in the middle.
Yeah, that's kind of a forgotten area of Ohio. You don't really hear much about stuff going on up there, and it is fairly remote. There are areas there along the Pennsylvania border that are virtually really unvisited for the most part by people. Let's look at some of the cases that you feel best represent potential evidence for the existence of these creatures. What are your favorite cases from history? Where do you come down on the Gimlin-Patterson film, for instance?
Well, honestly, when I first started getting into the stuff with Monster Quest and whatnot, I had never seen it. I somehow had been able to avoid the Patterson-Gimlin film episode of Monster Quest. Not quite sure how, but it just was never on when I was watching the show. And I mentioned to a teacher, I asked my science teacher, I think in fourth grade, what she thought of Bigfoot. And she said, oh, you mean that crazy man in the monkey suit that was filmed in the 60s in California? I said, I've never heard of that. And she showed me the video, and I kind of stood there looking at it for a second, and immediately my first idea was, yeah, this is a guy in a monkey suit, because my teacher
said
that.
Yeah, but it's a female Bigfoot, hold on.
right, and it interested me because it didn't quite look like a person in a monkey suit, just me just watching it for the first time. So I looked it up, and I watched it a couple more times, and I stumbled upon an article that Jeff Meldrum had put up about the film, and it really interested me because I kind of felt like, wow, this is, out of everything that is there, this is, while it's not proof and from a skeptical look, it's not even really good evidence, but it's really convincing. I don't know, there's just something about it that just convinced me. And looking at it with a more skeptical eye, I'm not sure if it was hoaxed or not. I think I lean more towards it wasn't. But even if it was, I can absolutely guarantee that Bob Gimlin had nothing to do with it, because I've watched a lot of interviews with him, and I'm going to meet him actually in a couple weeks at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference, and I feel like he's honestly the most believable person and the most genuine person that you can find.
We've got more to come with Colin Schneider and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place. And the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator. Energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely, and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week, in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Colin Schneider joining us on the Paracast. He's the Crypto Kid. And just a quick question before we get back to the case histories and more questions from our listeners from forum.paracast.com. Question is, what is on your agenda for the rest of your life here? You've got this thing going now. Do you plan to turn this into some kind of occupation? What's your college plan?
Oof, that's, I don't know if that's a quick question.
It could be a long answer. It doesn't matter.
I mean, he just got into high school. Give him a break, man.
You got to start thinking about it.
Well, if at all possible, I want to keep doing this for the rest of my life. I mean, like I said, I was walking out of the International Cryptozoology Museum, and I thought to myself, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And honestly, I think that when I go to college, I want to get a degree in zoology, maybe anthropology, or folklore. But definitely zoology and with a minor in one of the others. And I'm not sure if I want to go on and be a zoologist or a zookeeper. Or another thing that I have kind of been interested in is being a teacher. Maybe a high school science teacher, specifically biology, of course. But I don't know. I mean, I'm interested in doing a lot of things. But one of my focuses is making sure that whatever I choose to do, it's something that I that would allow me to keep doing this stuff, at least as a part-time, non-paying job, if you will.
Well, that's good. I mean, you always have to keep your future plans kind of in mind, and you have to set goals and set benchmarks to obviously to accomplish your goals. I'm going to get back to our other question, which was your favorite cases and possible evidence to support the existence of cryptozoological creatures. One that's always really interested me was the November 1951 Eric Shipton expedition in the Himalayas, where purportedly he photographed what I consider to be one of the finest trackways ever photographed of purported Yeti or Bigfoot tracks. Where do you come down on that particular physical evidence or visual evidence? And then what are some of your other cases that you really think support the existence of these creatures?
Well, I'm kind of on the fence about the Eric Shipton case because when you look at tracks in the snow in general, there's a lot of stuff that can affect it more so than if it's in mud or even sand. Because if you consider animals in snow, small mammals especially, they don't just run on the snow because oftentimes it's too deep. So what they do is they make these hops back and forth so they can get where they're going. And then what happens is as the day goes by, the snow melts slightly, and then overnight it freezes, and it goes back and forth, and that makes this weird-looking shape. And it definitely – the Eric Shipton tracks definitely maybe an unknown hominid, but in my opinion at least, it's equally plausible that it's just – an animal, or even just another human being's footprints that over time had been morphed through the sun melting the snow and then it changing, because that actually can happen over the course of, I think, a day and a half, maybe two.
Yeah, not even at that altitude. Those are pretty pristine, though. If you look at them carefully, there's very little degradation of the actual outlines of the tracks. But, let's shift in aside. Let's continue on. What are some of the better cases in your estimation?
Honestly, Bigfoot-wise,
honestly. Lie to me.
my favorite case concerning Bigfoot evidence has to be the Cripplefoot tracks in Bosberg, Washington.
Yeah, good one.
And it's not just because they showed a foot injury that's actually consistent with what Jeff Meldrum specifically thinks that the bone structure and the anatomy of the foot looks like, according to his study of the tracks, but also just because I am interested in anatomy in general. And if Bigfoot is real, and if it is proven to be real, those will be some of the most fascinating pieces of an anatomical anomalies ever. It's such an interesting looking foot, and it's such an interesting looking track that. I don't know. It's personally my favorite piece of Bigfoot evidence. Now, concerning some other cryptids, the Loch Ness Monster, there was a sighting in the 30s. I think it was 1935, where there's this motorcyclist, not the one that everyone knows. This is a lesser known one. There's another motorcyclist driving on a road by Loch Ness, and he said that as he was driving, he saw this large camel-like creature covered in gray hair that was patchy. And he said that its skin looked like a seal's, and it had a giraffe-like neck and a dog-like face. And that's been associated with the Loch Ness Monster ever since. I'm not sure how realistic that sighting was, but I think that the description is just so weird and so entertaining that it's, I don't know, that's always one of the ones that I think of when I think of the Loch Ness Monster. Now, as for the cryptid in general that I think is most interesting, I think that the Chupacabra definitely is, partially because the name Chupacabra has actually been used for at least three different cryptids, if not four or five. And there's such a variety in the reports, and they're just so interesting and just overall weird that, I don't know, I'm just definitely interested, and I've done a lot of research looking at the Chupacabra. And I've actually found that there are Chupacabra-like attacks reported around the country before 1995 when the Chupacabra was described first. There were these attacks done on livestock, but were associated with other cryptids. For example, in the 70s in Oklahoma, there was a farmer who reported his chickens screeching, making sounds like they were in pain in the middle of the night. He goes out to see what's going on. He finds the chicken coop's door hanging off the hinges. He didn't find any chickens in the coop, but he found blood and feathers everywhere. And he found handprints and footprints on the ground, in the blood. And when he took pictures of them and sent them to a zoologist, the zoologist said, well, this looks like a cross between a gorilla and a human. Where did you get this? And the reason I associate with the Chupacabra is because there have been, I know we're running out of time for this segment, but next segment, I'd like to mention that there's actually a long history of Bigfoot being associated with the draining of blood with animals and Bigfoot-like creatures.
Maybe Bigfoot is really a race of vampires. We've got more to come with Colin Snyder and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation Analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I thought after I mentioned Bigfoot possibly being a race of vampires, since they're so involved with blood, that Chris would give us a proper Bela Lugosi imitation, but I'm not going to ask for that. Colin, go ahead, please.
So, other than the Oklahoma case, there was one that Lauren Coleman actually wrote about in his book, Creatures of the Outer Edge. And he describes an attack also in the 70s in Illinois, I believe it was, where this family, also farmers, hear a, just like the Oklahoma attack, they hear this screeching coming from the chicken coop. They go out to see what was the matter. So the farmer and his cousin go out to see what was the matter. And lo and behold, they find the chicken coop's door ripped off, lying on the ground. And in the doorway, which was about 8 feet tall and 5 feet wide, they describe this giant, hairy, man-like creature. They didn't get a good look at him. But they said that it was standing in the doorway and it blocked out all of the light coming out of the doorway. And they said that they shot at it and it ran into a cornfield that was right next to the chicken coop and disappeared. They were sure they hit it, but nothing happened. And when they went to investigate, most of their chickens had been killed. Several of them.
So this is Illinois in the 70s, correct?
Yes. If I'm remembering correctly, it's Illinois. And after their first encounter, the farmer and his family contact the local law enforcement. And once the law enforcement gets there, they're discussing what was going on. They have no idea. And they hear a sound come from the road. So the officer hops in his car, and the farmer and his nephew are walking behind it as the officer is driving down the road slowly so they can check out what's going on. And the nephew claimed that he sees something out of the corner of his eye where the ditch is along the side of the road. He turns and he sees the same creature rise up from the ditch and run back towards the chicken coop. So they grab the officer. The officer hops out of the car. They run towards what's going on. They grab their guns. And they didn't see the creature, but the rest of the chickens had been killed. And there were only a handful left. But the rest of them had been killed in the same manner as previously. And I found numerous reports that are very similar, not just with chickens, but goats, cattle. Actually, in Brazil, the type of hairy humanoid seen in Brazil, the Yeti and the Yowie have all been reported killing cattle by twisting their horns off.
Well, in the Himalayas, I think it's yaks that are attacked.
Well, yak as well, but the type of beast of food. They're reported twisting their horns off and then ripping out their tongues and drinking the blood that flowed out of the wounds that they made. So those accounts are specifically from the folklore, but there are some modern reports of that happening, especially concerning the Yeti and the Yowie. So I have kind of made this weird little suggestion that the chupacabra, since it's already used for a variety of creatures, the gargoyle, yellow, spine-backed creature seen in Puerto Rico, or the giant bat also seen in Puerto Rico, or the weird canine thing that actually isn't a chupacabra from Texas that has been named a chupacabra, since it's already used for several cryptids, I've been suggesting for quite a while that why don't we use it as a catch-all term for any creature that appears to be draining the blood of animals, because the Mothman was reported doing it in the 60s during the initial spur of sightings. I found historical accounts supposedly of the Jersey Devil doing that. There have been stories of actually certain types of lake monsters emerging from lakes, dragging animals down, and later the corpse was found with a bite to the jugular. There are dogs and anomalous big cats all around the world are reported to do that all the time. Charles Fort wrote about that extensively. There's a huge amount of research just waiting to be looked at about these reports, and no one's done it. People have maybe mentioned one or two connections just under the whole topic of cattle mutilations, but no one's zoomed in and focused on that specifically. And I'm currently working on a series of articles and a book about that very topic.
Well, I can't wait to see that, being that I would say that I'm arguably one of the most knowledgeable people about unexplained animal deaths. So I'd be very interested in seeing those articles. I'm very interested also to find out more about this Illinois case and similar cases. I'd like if you could forward me more specific date and time and location information so that I can look at my database and see how, if and how it dovetails with other cases in the area, because I do have an extensive, probably the most extensive database on unexplained animal deaths. Well, when you see Stock in the Herd, you'll understand.
Yeah, certainly. I'd be more than happy to. I'm one of those researchers that, as long as it's not like an open case that I'm researching and the confidentiality is an issue, I'm more than happy to send out anything, even articles that I've had published in magazines. I'll send you a Word doc or whatever. Just ask.
Sure.
I mean,
or tell me where to go to read your stuff.
Yeah.
I perused your site, but I haven't seen any articles about this particular phenomenon.
Yeah, well, I was trying to get an article about this published in Fate, so I took it all down because I didn't want them thinking that I was using the same text for the articles.
Right.
So. We are both friends of the publisher of Fate, so we'll be happy to step in there.
Oh, I appreciate it. They actually accepted my article. I'm pretty excited.
Oh, that's good.
Excellent.
You see, you made a good start there.
Congratulations, Colin. We're really, really glad that you agreed to be on the show. We really support and welcome your involvement in this field. Anything we can do to help, just let us know. I've sent you my contact information. I'd love to be one of those mentors that can help you out in any way that I can. We really support you and other young people out there that are interested in these subjects. We need you guys to get involved. Don't let, you know, the scary, gray, bearded, you know, curmudgeons scare you off. We need your involvement. We need your input, and we appreciate your fresh perspective into these wonderful mysteries that we're all interested in.
Oh, yeah. I think that you guys being involved and having this friendship and mentorship with the people that we honestly look up to all the time is incredibly important with everything that we're doing and everything we're working on. So,
oh, amen.
Hey, Colin, we're about out of time. Would you tell our listeners about your site if they want to learn more about what you do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I have a radio show online that I talk about cryptids every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find that by going to WCJVradio.com. Repeat that, WCJVradio.com. I also have a blog, and you can find that at paranorm101.blogspot.com. Paranorm101.blogspot.com. Check out what I'm doing.
We will. You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. Check out Chris's site, undergoing constant updating, OurStrangePlanet.com. Three words strung together, OurStrangePlanet.com. He also sells his books there, by the way. If he's got a print book and you order it, he'll autograph it. Take it from me. You can also check out our other radio show called After the Paracast, which is part of the Paracast Plus. Go to plus, P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. That's plus dot theparacast.com. We give you a commercial-free version of this show and other benefits. Prices start at just $1.49 a week. We give away free print and e-books for subscriptions of 5 years or more. Colin Schneider, if more kids like you get involved in paranormal research, we're in good hands when we leave this plane of existence. Thanks for joining us in the Paracast.
Thanks for having me on. It was really fun.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With a ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.